Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This time on Homicide.
In the years leading up to 2005, whilst there'd been serious armed robberies, there had not been a death. This time, they crossed the line.
There was no reason to fire that shot.
When I'm investigating a serious crime, I want to go straight to the jugular, get out there and talk to them. Some of those armed robbers said, "Ron, we're professional. We don't kill people."
Police knew he was a very dangerous man.
He's got the firearms with him. It looks like another armed robbery on the way. I can't see anything, but I have to give the call to say arrest. It's very, very tense. Take him out, hit it.
I'm Ron Eddles. As a kid, all I ever wanted to be was a detective. I ended up spending 42 years in Victoria Police, 25 years in the Homicide Squad. I investigated more than 320 murders and solved most of them. Every murder victim deserves a voice, and it was my job to be that voice. Now, I'm taking you step by step through my most challenging cases to show you how we track down the killers. This is Homicide.
Erwin Kastenberger, Part 1.
In my time at Homicide, I investigated three murders associated with armed robbery. The one that was most significant is the one at Blackburn North Shopping Centre, where Erwin Kastenberger was shot in cold blood. Erwin is employed by Chubb Security as an armour guard. His role is to travel around Melbourne and they deliver large amounts of money to banks. On this particular day, the 8th of March 2005, one of the other security guards asked Erwin to change shifts. Erwin said, "Yes, no worries, I'll cover for you and I'll do your shift." This is not a day where Erwin would have normally worked. On this day, they went to the Commonwealth Bank at the Blackburn North Shopping Centre. Erwin's carrying the bag. It's got in excess of $160,000 in it. Erwin comes around the corner to the Commonwealth Bank. His colleague is right behind him. Then all of a sudden, the two armed robbers appear from a doorway right opposite the bank. "Get down, get down." Both Erwin and his colleague comply. At that point, the bag is released. The shorter of the two armed robbers grabs hold of the bag. The larger bends over with a handgun, belts Erwin in the head, and then fires one shot, which enters Erwin's shoulder. That bullet went through and cut his pulmonary artery, which caused him to bleed to death. When I first heard about it was maybe 1:30 in the afternoon. I was at a murder trial in Geelong. Because it would take me at least an hour and a half to get to Blackburn North, one of the other senior sergeants, Charlie Bezina, took charge out there, and the first thing he did was close the shopping centre down so no one could come in. I arrived at the Blackburn North Shopping Centre at about 3 o'clock. I can see the body of Erwin Kastenberger still lying outside the bank. So it's a process then of photographing, fingerprinting and examining the crime scene. I think in the end, on the day, we could have had 30 to 35 witnesses who heard or saw something.
So they just ran out and said, everybody down, and shot him and took the money.
I'd looked at the bandit standing there and he looked directly at me and I knew it was time to get out.
It was a big story on the day. It happened at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It would have been big breaking news. And within hours, it was leading the TV news bulletin. So it was one that really did shake Melbourne and many, many people, even 16 years later, would recall. My name's Anastasia Salamastrakis and I was a reporter at Channel 7 in Melbourne. Erwin was born in Germany. Didn't meet his father. His mum died at a very young age. He ended up in an orphanage. He came to Australia as a teenager. He had his brother and they were committed to finding a better life. And Erwin was lucky in that sense. He married Robin. She was only 17 at the time. They built a life together. He was about to become a grandfather. And, you know, from a very difficult upbringing, Erwin made a really good go of it and, you know, turned out to be a life that perhaps he couldn't have imagined when he was young.
You never know what's going to happen. He would have got up that morning, he would have had his breakfast, he would have kissed Robin goodbye, went off to work as normal, and here he is just doing a job. His life's gone. I come to the point where I think it's 5:30, 6 o'clock in the evening. Erwin's body has been taken away by the government undertaker. I was being questioned by the shopkeepers, when can we reopen? We need to open. I see the cleaner in his cleaning room there and I say to him, listen, can you do me a favour? Can you just get a mop and bucket and go over and clean up the blood? He sort of looks at me and he goes, no way. That's not my job. Then you think about it and you think, hang on, I've just asked a cleaner, he may not have ever seen a dead body in his life, to go and clean up human blood. So I said to him, okay, give me a bucket. So I filled it up with hot water, disinfectant, and I went over with a mop. And I'm standing outside the bank, I'm there alone, And I'm mopping up Erwin's blood. You think to yourself, he was alive 5 hours ago. And then I cleaned it all up and then I went and disposed of it. And the reality of that is you're pouring part of Erwin away and... it's probably something that I'll never forget.
I can't imagine many police officers would pick up a mop and a bucket and clean up a murder scene. They're there to investigate. They're there to gather information, to speak to witnesses. It says a lot about Ron.
Detective Senior Sergeant Ron Idle says it's only public help that will bring about an arrest. Here's some of what he had to say just a short time ago.
Obviously, we believe that they're both males. They're either the husband of someone, a brother, an uncle. Someone will know who is responsible for this.
So within the first week, we had a media conference in relation to the murder of Erwin Kastenberger. His wife was there and his only son was there. They were both in tears.
Somebody killed my dad for a bag of money. And that person has no place being free in our society.
When the family are used and there's that emotional plea, we're more likely to get people to come forward with information. And an ounce of information is worth a ton of investigation.
Just anyone in the public, please. Help us to get these bastards.
It was absolutely heartbreaking to see Robin just broken. You know, a desperate woman who just wanted answers. She wanted to know why her husband had been shot dead and didn't come home.
He did what you told him to do. We always said, if you do what they tell you, no one will get hurt.
So we know that we're looking for two armed robbers. One is an average build, the other very tall. They're both wearing a fluoro vest, both wearing balaclavas. One appears to be a woolen balaclava and the other one is wearing a very tight-fitting lycra or silk balaclava. 98% of murders are committed by someone known to the victim. Where there is no connection, it's very difficult because all you're really relying on is eyewitness or physical evidence that might actually tie back to the offender. So during the course of my crime scene examination, we found a piece of timber which was specifically cut so that when they left through the door, they put the timber across so no one could follow. The door couldn't be opened. What did this tell me? It was pre-planned. These were professional arm robbers, very, very sophisticated.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Finished up out at the crime scene. We went back to the office and we got two or three members from the armed robbery squad and we sat down and worked out what's the best strategy, how are we going to go forward. We made up a list of, I think, around 20 people who had prior convictions for armed robberies. And I said, okay, who are they? Let's go and get them. When I'm investigating a serious crime, I really don't want to beat around the bush. I want to go straight to the jugular. In other words, get out there and talk to them. Some of those armed robbers said, Ron, you know, we're professional. We don't kill people. Yes, we'll do an armed robbery, but we don't want to kill someone because all that does is bring heat on us. Most of those criminals were prepared to talk to us because they didn't want to be associated with the murder of a security guard. At the end of the week, we had two potential people being involved. That was Mark Dixon and Lenny Ryan. They both had a prior conviction for armed robbery. When the detectives went to their address, they lived together. And lo and behold, there's Mark Dixon. He's in the flat alone and he says, oh, I'm happy to cooperate. I can even tell you where I was on the day of the murder, 8th of March. He said, Lenny and I went to Ballarat. We'd hired a car. We drove to Ballarat around 9:30 and we got back at about 4:30. So on the Monday, I sent some detectives to Ballarat. They went around to the locations where Mark said he was with Lenny. On all those occasions where there was any closed circuit TV, there is only one person and it's Mark. Never ever showed Lenny Ryan. Quite clearly, Lenny wasn't there, which meant there was an issue. Why is Mark Dixon covering for Lenny Ryan? One of the key points was that in Ballarat, Mark Dixon was in a phone box at about 12:30 p.m. on the 8th of March 2005. He's in that phone box for at least 20 minutes. Question is, who's he ringing? We were able to establish that Mark was ringing two mobile phones. Those two mobile phones were hitting the tower, the mobile phone tower, at Blackburn North Shopping Centre. At the same time, the armed robbery goes down and the shooting of Erwin Kastenberger. What's Mark doing? Is he pulling the strings, coordinating the armed robbery? We then identified where those phones were bought. The lady said, I sold them to a particular man. She later identified Lenny Ryan. So we're now confident that at least Mark Dixon is involved in some way, Lenny Ryan is involved in some way. And now it's about ascertaining what happened.
Family, friends and colleagues of murdered Melbourne security guard Erwin Kastenberger have bid him a sad final farewell. As a mark of respect, dozens of security vans formed a special guard of honour for the funeral procession.
We ask why. From what we know, Erwin complied with the requests that were made. There was no need to murder him.
Erwin Kastenberger did the right thing. He complied. You know, Erwin passed over the bag of cash as requested. There's no need for anyone to be hurt. It just seems like such a waste of a life.
As the investigation continues, Mark Dixon says he and Lenny went to Werribee to hire a car. They met a friend of theirs. That friend was Hugo Rich. Hugo Rich was someone known to me as being an armed robber. Hugo Rich was actually born in Germany. His proper name was Olaf Dietrich. Hugo was somebody who was an egotist. He wanted to be wealthy, he wanted to be rich, but he never wanted to work for it. He became involved at one stage with drugs, did a 5-year sentence, and when he got out of jail, he thought, I'm going to change my name. I'm going to call myself Hugo Alistair Rich. Why did he do that? He wanted to wear Hugo Boss suits and he wanted to be rich. And then he became involved in armed robberies in the early 90s. When he did the armed robberies, he wore a silk ski mask.
Hugo wouldn't be your normal armed robber. He often wore a designer suit. And of course, whereas most crooks would wear a stocking mask or a woolen one, he wore a silk one, favoured by Formula One drivers, because that's how he saw himself. If there was a market for, you know, armed robbery models, he'd be it. He'd be going down the catwalk. My name's John Sylvester. I'm a crime reporter with the Age newspaper, and I've followed the sad and troubled history of Hugo Rich for some time. Hugo Rich and Erwin Kastenberger had somewhat similar backgrounds in that they were both refugees from Germany. Hugo had loving parents, he was looked after, they had a comfortable life. And he got a job with a top-ranked stockbroking firm, and he was pretty good at it. But he was hemorrhaging money, so he was supplementing his income doing armed robberies. In about 6 months in 1991, he was suspected of 8 armed robberies, netting a total of about $500,000. You know, really capable man, but just wanted to be a violent gangster. At one point, he attacked a policeman and bit his finger almost to the bone. He threatened the lives of chief prosecutors.
Watch your back. Every time you turn that car on, are yours where you're living at the moment? You tell them. How long it takes? 25 years, bitch. I'll have a go at you. One go. That's all I want.
And the tantrum that he threw in the county court became quite legendary.
You'll be arraigned before the jury.
No, I won't. I won't be arraigned before the jury, okay? I'm telling you I won't be arraigned before the jury.
No, all right,
I'm telling you now, I want to leave now.
Well, you're not permitted to leave now.
I am permitted to leave. I'm telling you now, I want to leave now. You're not going to f***ing do this, rat. I'm telling you, rat, don't f***.
fucking threaten me, dog. I'm telling you, you'll lose.
He was never going to get away with that sort of thing, so he got extra time for contempt.
Hugo Rich had an extensive criminal history. I know that if I just go and ask Hugo, oh, Hugo, did you commit an armed robbery and shoot someone? He's going to go, don't want to talk to you. We then established that Hugo has a Mercedes-Benz van worth $130,000. He only came out of jail in 2004. Where would he get the money for that car? I make some inquiries and it worked out that he's basically stolen that from Mercedes-Benz. I make the decision, it's safer to have him off the street, and he's arrested for the fraudulent obtaining of that van. We also established that Hugo, on a regular basis, goes to Fort Knox Storage in North Melbourne. What does Hugo have in that storage locker? Is there something which might link him to the murder of Erwin Kastenberger?
Next time on Homicide.
It looks like another armed robbery on the way.
They described him as a very dangerous man.
They stop at the Commodore, they balaclava up, they're all carrying a gun. It's very, very tense. To be honest, I'm just about shitting myself.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock. Because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.